On this week's Big Tech Show, you might not think it could happen to you, but our guest this week explains how a significant number of Irish people may be falling victim to romance frauds online.
Victims can feel a misplaced sense of shame. People can blame themselves. They feel embarrassed, and so they don't want to tell family, friends. They don't want to report it to the police. In some cases, of course, the victims are already in relationships. They're married. They have an extra reason to keep that quiet.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull, that's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
People only stood up and he's like, now, I'm going to tell you why you're never going to be as good as Roy Began. And he just lit on me for about 5 minutes.
We were doing runs, and I think it was in 12th or 13th season, and there was a youngish Brian Howard there. I was basically not hitting the line. But he pulled me up, like, he's like, Phil, you gotta make a line, and I was like.
I was refereeing Philly and Michael Murphy. What I always said to them was, if they wanted the whistle, they could take it off me.
Can you tell me, A, how did you score that, and B, how did you not score every single free kick that you take?
This is not good. If you missed this, like, go back playing soccer, like.
And then there was four teams left in the football championship. Three of us back on the sofas, two All-Ireland winners, and one man who was playing this weekend. And it is great to have this man on the show. He is an all-star, a distinguished all-star. He is by far the best cornerback in Ireland for a goalkeeper. He is by far the best halfback in Ireland for a goalkeeper. And he's also a bloody brilliant goalkeeper. Niall Morgan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. There could be a few debating that defensive stats, especially the club boys, mate.
I contacted your club manager today, Conlon, and I said, give us a bit of door to Niall Morgan, will you? And he said, look, he's only back from the county scene, he's back training with us, but he'll definitely be really important to us in goal this year. Is that right? Is he going to play it in goal?
I would be happy to play a goal. I mean, less running.
You said your Bronco test was questionable, so you might have to play it in goal.
No, I'd be happy enough. I requested to do goals, but he wasn't having it.
So what position will he play?
Well, I don't know. Usually I've played every position for the club in the last couple of years. I actually went back and played a friendly at the start of this year, done goals in it. Played full back last year for a couple of games, full forward for most of it, midfield, sweeping.
Now, where I'd put you? I'd put you like a free roll around midfield, kicking the balls.
I would love that. Free roll sounds good.
Like the balls you were hitting coming out of goal, like for Tyrone, like straight into the full forward line. Now, I don't know if you get a chance at club. Is it replicated, the kind of structures at Intercounty with club? As in, is it defensive? Like Northern football, is the mass defences in club?
Yeah, I think with Tyrone football, it's really mirroring the county side of things, because it's so parochial and every game means a lot. So nobody wants to lose, and there's nearly that fear of taking a tanking by your neighbour, I suppose. So teams are reverting nearly to getting loads of numbers behind the ball. So it's hard to get that sort of freedom. Like we've got, and just in our club, we have Darn and Conn there and playing in around the middle. So like teams are banking up, like, and getting men around them. Like.
So Darren McCurry doesn't play in full forward?
No, he usually played 11 for us, right. But it's just to get him freed up, like, and try to, like, he'd drift out towards midfield, because if he plays inside, there's just, he's not going to get the ball, Then at club level, you don't have the same standard of boys playing the ball in as well. So it's really difficult for him, so we tend to play him out, and then I played in last year for the most of the season, just as a bit of a target, I suppose. If teams put men around him, then it freed me up a wee bit. And then we have another lad, Harry O'Connellan, who won a county All-Ireland minor with Tyrone, and he's about 6'4", so the two of us sort of stood on edge of six for a wee while.
Joe and Justy will be coming out of retirement to come back to Murky's.
Yeah, I don't think any team had any big fear, obviously, but it provided the opposition with they had the thoughts of, right, we need to keep men back, which give Darren the freedom more in around the 45.
Right, okay.
How do you find your fitness when you go back to play outfield?
Well, it takes me about 5 or 6 weeks to get any sort of fitness back.
Are you not outfield fitness when you're on the
Tyrone? No, I wouldn't even be close. The first 2 or 3 months with Tyrone, we'd do a bit of the running, and even our goalkeeping training would be quite high intensity. And then as it comes towards championship, we have a lot of match play stuff, and I'd be standing back quite a bit. So I usually tend to gain weight in around the Ulster Championship and all
Ireland season. It's all muscle.
And then go back to the club, and then I would have to be doing extra runs at the end of trainings and stuff.
To try to
catch up with all the boys.
So really enjoy going back to the club?
I love it, yeah. So whenever you said doing goals there, my eyes sort of lit up a wee bit. I would be happy enough. But
have you took a little break between going
back? I like to get straight back into it. So we finished on Saturday and went to Donegal for a couple of nights with my wife and kids, and missed training on Monday night, but I was back last night, so
it's probably not a break today. The wife and kids gone away, is he? You need another holiday after that with kids.
So are you immediately the county guy who doesn't show up to training if you don't show up to training back with
absolutely
them?
Even if you show up wearing your Tyrone gear, it's like
oh, here he comes.
Do you play for Tyrone?
Who are you playing tonight?
Do you play for Tyrone?
Who are you playing tonight? It's just you're back into the club mode and club mentality, and you're expected to always be on it, always lead every session, always pushing everybody on. And sometimes that is tough too, because everybody can have a bad day, or you can show up late, and Darren is unbelievable at driving standards, at Tyrone and at club. I'm notorious for being late, as you've known for today. And I just remember there was one night, don't think it was last year, it was maybe the year before, and I showed up and sort of in the middle of the warm up, and Darren said something, and I just snapped back at him, and I was like, you don't know what's going on in my life today. But he was over then after, is everyone okay, sort of thing. So he'd probably laugh now, because I probably made up a story.
So you've just told every club player, Intercounty player, to use that now. You don't know what's going on. I'll give you a quick insight to leadership in the Dublin team. We were doing runs, and I think it was in my 12th or 13th season, and there was a youngish Brian Howard there, and I was basically not hitting the line, and I was beating him to the runs. Wasn't hitting I was on the way back, so I was cheating,
I hate that.
He was hitting the line. I just want to get through this. I'm not having it today. I just want to get through it. But he pulled me up, he's like, Philly, you gotta make the line, and I was like, well, he was right. It was brilliant, and it really kept me accountable that day. I kind of thought to myself, I wanted to just hit him a box and say, shut up, but he was it was great to have somebody you're saying, someone to pull you up and keep you accountable to drive the standards. I think that's crucial. But to have it at a club
that is probably the hardest thing whenever we go back, is being it's us three to try, and it's always said, whenever they come back, whenever Niall, Darren and Colin come back, it'll be different. But now we've got a few boys who've sort of really started to step up. We've Conor Mallins there as well. He's our captain this year, and he captained Tyrone Minors to Ulster as well. So we've got a real good core of boys that have played for Tyrone at youth ages, and maybe not just for one reason or another made it through. And they're sort of starting to realise now, there is a bit of potential here, but we need more than the three boys to be driving it all the time.
Who's the standard drivers in the Tyrone team at the minute?
We're probably fortunate in that we've got a lot of boys there that do step. Darren is brilliant for it. Myler, Hamsey, McGeary. Petey Hart is one of the silent ones.
Yeah.
You just watch him and we need to up it here. Matty speaks at the right times and says the right things. I'm the person that can't cope whenever things aren't going right and just goes bananas all the time. That's me.
You don't expect anything different from a goalkeeper. Yeah, they're all crazy. Like.
Yeah, well, like, I just...
If you're not crazy as a goalkeeper, you're not a goalkeeper.
I just don't have a filter. Like, if I think something has to be said, like, I just say it. And, like, sometimes I apologise for it after, like, but it's like, I just don't understand why boys come to training to go through the motions. Mm.
Or come to training late or anything like that. Yeah, like
I always do let boys away with a wee bit of lateness, like, because but like it's funny because at Throne I'm never late. I'm always in time.
Yeah.
I might be late to lift the boys, but they tell me 15 minutes earlier on purpose now at this stage. But I sort of look at it like we're at county level for a reason. So like, don't behave like a club player whenever you get here, like, you know, really
he wouldn't do push it on.
Yeah. Like really, really push it on and make use of the short window of time, like, because if it, a county train, you're there for, like, I leave the house for a county train at 5:45 and not home to maybe 11, but you're only on the pitch for like an hour and 10, an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I'm going to travel all that time, if I'm going to leave my wife and kids at the house, like, don't waste that. Yeah, that small window of what you have got, because it could be so important then come later on the year, and you're only on the pitch maybe 3 times a week, so like 4 hours a week you're on the pitch, but you might be out of the house, you know, the equivalent of a day.
You
know, and it's I often think that sometimes as a younger person, and I was there too, obviously you don't really appreciate what the older boys are doing and what they are giving up. Like, there's me and PD now and Potty, Maddie's just had a child there, Joe Goose has a child.
That's incredible.
I think that's it.
There's no Dublin players with kids at the minute.
Really?
Oh, sorry. Dean Rock has a child.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else has a kid.
I think you're right.
No, when we were playing, there was only Darren Daly and Owen O'Gara.
Yeah.
That's incredible. There's good handful
like,
of.
Well, like me, like I've I've Christie's 3 and Maisie's 2. PD Hart's got 2 kids and they're similar ages.
Jeez.
Maybe 3 and 1. Maddie's was born last week. Actually, last Monday. Potty's wee boys, maybe 7 or 8.
Do you think, Philly, that's like almost a conscious decision where boys are just like, I'll just leave it until I'm 34, 35? Like, is
definitely
it be handy?
Conscious, yeah. Like, I mean, I suppose I've only kind of really got the grips of the demands of having a child because Lennon is 17 months old, like, but he's like, it's stressful, it's hard, but it's amazing at the same time. Like, and I could never get my head around how lads do while playing. I think it's incredible. I think it's incredible for their partners to take up the mantle when they're at training, at matches, training camps. But like I didn't really appreciate it when I was playing, when I seen what Owen O'Gara was doing, what Darren Daly was doing, and it's incredible. But there's also things that you miss out on when you don't have a child at a young age. Like, so my dad passed away at the age of 66, and he never seen his grandchild.
Yeah.
And that's because I didn't feel I would have the commitment for a child while playing.
Yeah.
You know,
and only for like Kira at home, who's willing to like nearly sacrifice her side of life. It just would be impossible. Like, it's a complete juggling act for her all the time, and everything has to be rejuggled and changed all the time for her. Like, and she laughs, like, because people always say about me being organised. Like, I'm our team rep, I'm a primary school principal, and I'm so organised with everything. And then she comes home and I'd say, oh, such and such is saying that, you know, I've done well to organise something. And she's like, I can't wait till this man comes home.
You should talk to the lads. You start to Fergal and Brian about setting up a creche
To be fair to Fergal, like, he would always say, see, if you need anything, you need a babysitter, you need a lift, you need this, you need...
Good.
We'll sort it. Like, you know, I had to get an injection in my groins in 21, and I was going down, and Fergal was like, do you need me to lift you? And I was like, no, I'm sure you've worked. Well, I mightn't be able to do it, but I'll get somebody to lift you at your house.
Yeah.
Bring you to
but
Belfast,
someone lifting you means giving you a lift in Dublin. Like, you're saying lifting you. I thought people would probably say lifting you up because you're injured.
No.
Giving you a lift to train.
He was going to get somebody to pick me up, drive me down, me. And then he says, well, how are you paying for it? And I says, oh, I'll just put up my card. And then whenever you're there, ring me and I'll call out my card details. Like, and, you know, like the two
I think
of
the top managers do that.
Yeah,
like,
but see between Brian and Fergal, like, I've never had anybody ever that's been so personable. And like, we were, whenever Brian and Fer got the job, like, it was like, we were like, oh, Fergal's going to be good cop here and Brian's going to be bad cop. Like, because all we ever seen was like the Naughties team where Brian was just like veins popping out of the head. But like, he's so, like, every night you come to the train, well, how's things? How are you? And he's getting around, he's all around all the players. And him and Colin Kilpatrick have the funniest relationship. Like, they wind each other up non-stop, constantly. Like, and it's brilliant. Like, so it's so such a good environment. Like,
the years when the All Ireland. The following year, there was a bit of an exodus of certain group of players, or not certain group. There was a few players that left the squad. What was they like? Were they all different reasons for them?
Some of them just wanted to play more. And didn't want to sacrifice the amount of time for not playing. Some of them thought that they should have been a starter, which is, you're at a county level. Like, if you're not there to want to start, don't. I say, like, you shouldn't be here. Like, if you're here to get a bit of gear and a jersey at the end of the year, like, you know, you're wasting everybody's time. Some of them were starting up businesses, some of them were building houses, some of them were just getting a bit older, like, and some of them maybe just thought they were better than what they were. If we're being realistic, like, and that's like in general, like, whenever some players leave and don't do their time, you know, like, you have to. I was probably fortunate that whenever I came in, John Devine and Pascal McConnell were coming to the end of their careers. Otherwise, I would have had to do my time, like, and wait out my chance. And some boys just aren't willing to do that anymore. And I think it's like the generation coming through now. Even like, you're teaching in school and it's like, I want that and I want it right now. You know, and I think the difference between being a club player and being a county player is huge. Like, you could be a really good club player, but not even close to county standard. Like,
there was a lot of. Outside of Toronto, there was a lot of, is there something wrong with the management team here?
We kind of laughed that off, to be fair, because we knew ourselves that we actually all get on really, really well. So, like, that part didn't annoy us, but we nearly get on too well that nobody is willing to, like, I was the only one nearly doing the truth telling at times.
But everyone's just Niall's off the game.
But like, that's the thing. Like, whenever you're always the same. Whenever it's always the same one doing it, loses its effect. Yeah. Like, so, whenever I would have said something to people, like, at times it was, "Oh, you're always bloody mouthing, like, you're always giving off." Like, and you can imagine it wasn't in the same language, like, as that. Like, so it does lose its effect. Like, and I think the world is nearly changing a wee bit. That, oh, you have to be positive. You have to be nice. Don't say anything bad. You know, you don't know what he's going through. And it's like, if he comes and he sets his foot on this pitch wearing a county top, he better be willing to take it. You know what I mean? Like, for this hour and 20, and after the hour and 20 minutes, we'll high five, we'll talk it out. If he's got an issue, we'll get over it. But it's like, you have to be willing to be at the level, in my opinion, that you're going to take it. Like, I give you an example from me was after, everybody remembers Killarney, where the 6-goal fiasco.
We just went on the rip for the
we went on the rip after. It was the best thing we could have done.
The management team's great.
But that was the first time we'd ever got to do that.
Right, yeah.
Under Mickey, we never stayed the night of the game. We were always home. And I think it was because the Naughties, they took the hand out of it. But like, they were winning All-Ireland, so like, well, surely that's a good thing. But like, on the Tuesday night, Brian came to me at Trin, and I've told this story before, like, but he was like, "Oh, you know, you're going to get a wee bit of a touch here." And I was like, "Why are you telling me this? Like, I better get a touch because I've conceded 6 goals. My kickout's horrific." And I'm like, if I had came here tonight and you had buttered me up, I would have been fuming. Because, like, you need to be told. And, like, then Pete Donnelly stood up and, like, they were nearly buttering me up even as they were doing the clips. Like, even as they were pointing me out, and Pete Donnelly stood up and he's like, "Now, I'm going to tell you why you're never going to be as good as Rory Began." And he just lit on me for about 5 minutes. And after training, I was like, "Okay, I'm going to show him." And, like, then I went on to probably play the best football I had played in a few years, like, because nobody had stood up to me. I was always the one that was saying to somebody, "You're not doing this and you're not doing that." But nobody would give it back to me, like, and
that's too specific as well, isn't it? Like, you're not going to be as good as that goalkeeper.
And it was probably because it was me and Rory were the two that everybody were comparing. Not everybody was saying, "Oh, they're the best two goalkeepers in Ireland," but it was them two play like each other, them two come out to the ball, them two hit free kicks, them two hit long kickouts. And it's like, right, that's your comparison. I know you want to be better than him, so yeah. I'm going to nail you on him. Like, yeah.
Well, we'll just bring Laurie Began
in. Do you know what?
Pete had done his year with Monaghan as well, you see. So Pete had left us, went to Monaghan for a year, so he had...
Can I stick with the segue? Because it's actually such a good setup for a picture that I wanted to bring up. And you can talk to me about this free kick. You're almost not even in picture here. So this is Niall Morgan for anybody at home. I'll bring up the full picture on screen here. You're almost in the halfway line here against Kerry in the All-Ireland semi-final.
Yeah.
Like, can you tell me, A, how did you score that? And B, how do you not score every single free kick that you take?
I suppose, like, this was... I obviously in Croke Park, you can see the timers. Like, yeah. The time's up. Whenever the free kick was given, I think it was like 37 minutes 50 something. And then Milo was down for a while. And I sort of was like, you know what, like, I'm just going to have a pop at this. Like.
It's a free shot. It's a free shot.
Yeah,
it's a free shot from the halfway line.
I went up and McGeary's holding the ball and I was like, I might as well have a shot here, like, because the time's up.
Yeah.
And he was like, you're not shooting from here. And the
that's all you needed then.
I can't remember who was refereeing it that day. They were like, this is the last kick. Yeah. You know, and McGeary is like, this is it. And he's like, yeah, if anybody else touches the ball, I'm blowing the whistle. So I was like, right, I've literally got a free shot. But Myler and McGeary stood the whole way through my routine calling the short kick anyway. I was like, it's the last kick. But David Moran went to the line.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, kick out, put it on top of David Moran. And that was in
so
my
you
head.
Were taking that free that you were taking the kick out.
Yeah, that's not the. I don't do the same run up at all for this free kick as I do for a free because.
So you're saying to me now that to me and Con that was a fluke.
No, yeah, basically, yeah.
Well,
have you seen me hitting any more from there?
It was like, that's an incredible kick.
Because that's literally what was going through me. If I can land this on top of David Moran,
you have a chance.
At Gervahi, like me and Petey Hart used to laugh about, like, I used to practice from the 65 all the time from Gervahi, up in Gervahi at training, and it was like, if I could nail one of these in a match, I can get an extra 5 yards because of the adrenaline in the game. I'll get an extra 5, and every now and again one of them would go over. And I think Petey said to me at some stage during it, he's like, it's just like Gervahi, and he said to me after them, I knew you were going to score it.
Wow.
That made one of us.
Who's this trying to block you? That's what I want to know.
It could have been, like, but...
I don't think you know where he is on the pitch.
Like, if you're hitting a free kick, you do at times see the kicker, but this was that far out. All exactly. I was seeing was Moran on the line. Yeah. And whoever this was for us, I can't remember, they'd go into the square, and the referee blew the whistle, and I was like, see if he's given a square ball. That's why I sort of stand. As if, did he give a square ball?
Ronaldo Nani type of thing.
No, but I was like, thank God I wasn't sure because I'd have probably fist pumped the whole way back to my life.
My favourite score that I ever had in my career was against Tyrone in around that zone, out of my hands. So like to kick that off the ground, like, is incredible. Like, I just like, and I think O'Shea did it against Kerry against Dublin last year, but I don't think it was that far, was it?
No, it was the other side of the 65. Yeah. Still incredible
so
kick,
like,
but
that distance there is, and it, because you kicked it straight, like, as in, like, it's right in front of the goal. Would you find that easier or from an angle?
I hit straight. Yeah. I'd rather be either side, like, but for that one, as I say, because it was like a kick out stance.
Yeah,
it was like just nail it the way you'd hit a long kick out and.
Just do that all the time. You'll always score.
Yeah, well, funny, Fergal did say to me this year, he's like, I think you're being, you know, you're playing with feel too much. Like, I love golf, like, and he's like, oh, you're too much, you're playing with feel. Like, he says, you need to just start driving it over the bar. And I was thinking, yeah, it's that easy. Like, you've got a wee
bit. You can play your own kickouts, like, so you would fancy yourself to kick it, like,
to halfway line.
Down to the opposite 45, considering you're out 20 metres, like.
Yeah.
Is that what your...
My aim for a kickout would be this line here.
Wow.
If we're going long, like, but it's just like sometimes they come off and sometimes they don't, like, but
in that game in particular we
nearly went long every kick out because Kerry had such a high press that we thought, you know what,
even
if they win the ball here, they have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
So we just kept pumping it, and even like
David Moore would have been playing that game.
Yeah.
He?
Well, like we sort of knew that we weren't going to win.
Yeah.
A lot of kickouts, but we knew that we were going to have lots of bodies around it to hit them. But then at the weekend, they completely dropped off and they're like,
see, I was going to ask before we bring Morris Deegan in here now, yeah. But like, why didn't you do it the weekend? Is this because
they
dropped off?
They completely dropped off. They give us the short kick out. Like,
and would it not make more sense that for you to push people? Is that you leave you
well,
like, then, like,
double? We sort of tried to say, like, we'll bring our boys out, like, but then they sort of left Clifford this side of it. So
if we
pump this and we lose it, you know, like
Clifford's risk reward.
Yeah, it's risk reward. Like looking back, you probably would have said, you know what, let's pump five or six more. Like, but you're like, that's what I was saying before we came in here. Like, we get absolutely tanked.
What would you change? No, you say tanked. What does that mean? Like, what was the pieces that made you get tanked?
Like I suppose, like watch Tyrone v Kerry. Whenever Tyrone do well, we have bodies around them at all times. We're swarming them. We're making them uncomfortable. And at the weekend, we didn't get close to doing that. And I think, like, whenever you're playing Kerry, in my opinion, you have to either go full press and every man's got a man and everybody's harassing somebody else, or else you go completely the reverse where you're meeting them at a certain line, whereas we sort of dropped a bit of a sweeper in, which just gave them overlap. We're sort of caught between the two stools, whereas I think we were meant to sit off them a bit more, but like whenever the adrenaline gets going, and sometimes boys think, oh, I can go in there and get a tackle, and you know, nearly went in ones. Even when we had the ball, we were nearly going in ones, as I call it. Like, there was no real support. So, like, whenever Kerry were getting the tackle on, we were turning around, and all it was another Kerry man coming in to finish the job. And it just wasn't like us. We didn't perform. Kerry were excellent, obviously, but we didn't perform, and we're all seriously disappointed with how we played. Like, but if you lose that game, if you play like that and lose by a point, you're sitting going, if only we had a. And sometimes you just don't play well.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where you have to be realistic about it. And if you don't play well against a team like Kerry.
Yeah, do you think the games you played before that game were structurally different?
So oh, yeah. Harder for like, to we, be. Like, Donegal set off, but they also have a couple of players that like to stay up. That we sort of nearly targeted in terms of, right, if we can take them out of the game and we can go with our legs, like, we're going to have the overlaps. So, like, I played a wee bit more out against Donegal than I did against Kerry, but that's like a Croke Park thing. I don't think that you can play that roving keeper in Croke Park. And it, like, people say, oh, it's the same size of pitch, but it's just, like, you, it saps you, like.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm just thinking about the Ulster final of 2021, though.
But that was just the way that game went. Yeah, like, everybody talks about that kick out where I'm pressing.
Yeah.
But like, Petey was doing nets.
Right. Like,
It was a case of I went out and they brought on a sub and Petey's man went off from like being inside, and the new man went on. Nez already out there, so Pete Donnelly was like, just pick him up.
Yeah.
Petey'll cover you. Yeah. So that's why I went, because I was like, I've got cover, but.
But everybody's looking at you as the goalkeeper.
But everybody's looking at me thinking, like, what's he doing? Like, there's no keeper in nets, but like, we can all use our hands. Like, and you've seen Petey against Galway this year, so 100% kickouts compared to me.
But even like Comber's goal against
Derry.
Derry,
yeah.
You know, that'll show you the difference between, you know, a keeper coming out in Croke Park. Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm going to stop it there because I don't want to hear any more from that game. Like, all right, we'll leave it there. We're going to bring in Morris Deegan. Okay, absolutely delighted to welcome to the show. I'm not stretching too far to say a lot of people's favourite referee. It's Mr. Morris Deegan. Morris, I'd like to start by thanking you. Thank you for protecting Michael Murphy, for giving the football world Michael Murphy, protecting him from Philly McMahon and his Dublin teammates all around him there. I don't know what they're going to do, and there you are, shouldering yourself in.
Look, Colin, when I was refereeing Philly and Michael Murphy, in fairness to them, what I always said to them was, if they wanted the whistle, they could take it off me. Well, half the time, it was Philly was looking for a free one way, and Michael was looking for a free the other way. You couldn't win with it.
Well, I know which one you gave.
I always gave it to you.
You did, yeah, right.
I'm surprised now, because when I said to Niall as well, I said that you were coming on, his face lit up. He said, oh, actually, I like Morris. He's one of my more
I told him, Morris is not ref anymore. No,
right. Won't get any brownie pints, Niall. I'm sorry, I'm finished.
So myself and Niall, you were on this trip, weren't you, over to Dubai?
No.
Were you not?
No.
Abu Dhabi, no, you weren't. It was me, it was Peter Hart, Peter Donnelly, and Colm Kavanagh. And we were on the bus with Morris, and we came up with a name for Morris. We were trying to pronounce Colm Kavanagh in a Tirana, Colm Kavanagh. We couldn't pronounce him. And anyway, it turned to Morris, and his nickname was... Do you remember the nickname? Martin King. You know, the weatherman. His name is the weatherman.
He actually looked very much like him. Yeah.
He's a massive Dublin fan as well. Oh, yeah. So we caught him.
He looks like me, you know. Don't forget that.
Yeah. I was just raging. I never got the chance to call you on the pitch. All right, Martin King, relax with the phrase there.
Kieran Kenny called me enough of it, I tell you, every time we're playing.
So will we get into some of the juicy bits that we have for
appreciating. Well, there's one that I want to start with anyway. It's from the Mayo Dublin game at the weekend. Morris, I think everyone was sort of talking about this, the pick off the ground. Did Jordan Flynn pick it up off his knees? Did it hit the ground? I want to know, why did nobody just go back a split second further and ask, did Lee Gannon foul him on the way down? Is that why he ended up falling and brought the ball down? What was your take on this one?
Well, really and truly, everyone was just looking at why he disallowed the goal. And when they showed the replay, it was whether he picked the ball off the ground with his knees or not, which technically is a foul. And like, to be fair to David, he wasn't too far away from it. I think he was only 5, 6, 7 yards away from it, so he called it straight away. So whether the ball hit the ground or not is open to interpretation. But for the letter of the law, you can't really pick the ball off the ground. Technically, it was a free out. Yeah. That answered your question, no, Colin. But Philly's going to come with another
very
one. Very
politically answered, yeah. Very well answered. But like a referee, and like we're looking at a screenshot here, right?
Yeah.
But in fairness to Goff, like you're not going to be able to know if that ball bounced between his legs.
Yeah.
So it is a free. In my eyes, in that moment, if you're in the referee's eyes, that's a free out. Okay. Whether it bounced or not, I'm saying.
Yeah.
If it bounced, it's not a free out. If it bounces, if you're in the referee's eyes right there and then in that moment, I don't think you're going to be able to differentiate that ball bouncing between someone's legs. So I can free out. I do agree with your point though.
Yeah.
I possibly think there's a free before that.
Yeah. Or a penalty.
A penalty.
Because that's the thing. It's so funny that everyone was then debating about like it actually worked in David Goff's favour almost because they were going like in and I agree with you. It's like we can't see like you can't make that decision that quickly whether it skimmed the ground or not. But everyone forgot about the reason that Jordan Flynn was down there in the first place because he was three.
It was windy today.
Cornerbacks
never fell. So I want to talk to you about. There was a clip of me a couple of years ago where the ref was mic'd that I didn't know he was mic'd, and I was saying to him, "It's always the defender,
always the defender
blown up, you know." And there was one incident in the Kerry Tyrone game where Paddy Hamsey was Paddy Hamsey, wasn't it? It was with David Clifford, and you could see that the two of them are at it. Like, so at that stage, like there's kind of a little bit of common sense, like the two of you are at it. But generally, would you say that there's a more of a biased, this is where my biased defense comes in, there's more of a biased decision around the forward getting the benefit of the doubt there on the basis that there's two umpires generally looking at the defender fouling there?
Not necessarily, Philly, because to be fair, like the forward could instigate just as quickly as the defender because going back to your point there, David Clifford is like he's well able to mind himself, do you know what I mean? So like, and if he feels that he can get a free inside and maybe get a reaction from the defender, well he's going to test that boundary, do you know what I mean? So I wouldn't agree with you that it's always in the forwards, we'll say, percentage as regards getting the free. Do you know, there's a bit of both always. Like, I could name 4 or 5 forwards that are no angels, do you know what I mean? And would have always tried to draw the free as such, we'll say, as you said, from the umpire or the linesman, but mainly from the umpire if it's an off-the-ball decision.
Yeah, I think... I think Clifford is brilliant at it. I don't know if you've noticed anything in terms of Clifford's movement, but his separation is excellent. Like, he'll use his hand, cross your face, cross your body, just to get that little bit of separation for him to move. And this particular instant, because I'm honed in on the defence,
yeah.
When I'm watching a game, it's very hard for me to watch the actual game as a spectator. I'm watching Clifford, I'm watching Hamsey, and I see him, and the referee directly goes in and says, right, who's going to be fouling here? It has to be the defender.
Like, yeah.
So... And then if the ball is coming in this way and the two players are facing that way, but the goal's behind them, the umpires are just seeing possibly the defender here, like, you know, not the separation and then the push off or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But as a goalkeeper, do you see, you know, any bias towards a forward or defender?
Always best. look, I suppose, like, look, I'm not going to say the defence are angels in it. There's obviously that aggressive side of things, but it does seem to be a lot of the time, like, as umpires, you know yourself, Marsh, you're getting your umpires nearly to relay the message to the players through myself or whatever, and a lot of the time it is, you know, tell number 5 to stop holding, tell number 3 to stop holding, and you're sort of saying, like, who's relaying the message to the forward player then? Like, you know, it's a thankless job, like, but I think there's a lot of times where referees could take the help of their umpires more seriously, I suppose, for want of a better way of putting it, and take on board that, like, you know, right, the two of them are at it, I'm just going to let the thing flow rather than trying to catch out the defender and hold him. And there's always the classic statement, and David Clifford actually said it to me at the weekend, sure, why would we be holding? We've got the ball. You know, like, yeah, we know why you're holding, because you're trying to engage the defender to hold you back, and then you're going to run away and draw your foul. Like, so it's a, I think there's, like, some referees are really consistent in their approach where, right, two boys are at it here, we're going to let it go, we're going to let them play. Like, I was saying to Philly and Colin beforehand, like, Marty McNally, for my opinion, is really good at saying, right, we're going to let this game go both ways. If you mess about, I'm going to pull you on it. If you're a third man in, I'm going to pull you on it. If you're mouthing at me, you're going to have a long day. But he gets the respect from players because he talks to the players and explains his decisions, whereas I just feel there's a wee bit of inconsistency from some other referees in how they approach things.
I think that's very important what you're after hitting on, Niall, is the communication between the players and the referee. I think that's massive. I always used to find myself that... I don't know. I would have always talked to the ref, to the players, always called it by their first name, because you're treating them with respect, and you generally got back respect from the players. Then in turn, you know what I mean. So
absolutely,
and I would have always.
I say that, yeah, to Philly before I heard you're on it. Yeah, that's why I actually did smile, because I was saying, like, we always get on well with yourself. You always talk to in a respectful manner, and, like, there's the whole thing around give respect, get respect, but it is a two-way system, in that if you approach the referee with respect, then you get it back, and likewise the other way around. And I think, again, there's the inconsistency to that model of approach at times, and you get caught out by it by, you know, everybody has times in a game where the tempers are raised a wee bit and the adrenaline and stuff, and I think at times there needs to be an allowance for that as well, and that, okay, like, that's a big moment in the game, he's got a wee bit excited there, but I'm going to talk to him, calm him down, and we'll get the thing back going.
Yeah, like, it even goes back to the umpire side of things. Like, I could ask the umpires who said that we refereed over the years, who was their favourite goalie, and Niall Morgan will come up as one, because He treats the umpires.
He's never in goal.
He leaves us alone.
He treats them with respect, like he treats them as proper people, like, do you know what I mean? Like, that they'll have the chat and whatever after the match and stuff like that, and there's no issue. Do you know what I mean? Whereas there's some keepers, not naming any, that would look down from the umpire. Do you know what I mean? looking at that picture there.
I'm very conscious that we've got one of the toughest defenders in Ireland and a goalkeeper from one of the most combative teams in Ireland, and they're on here and they're giving their say, and there's probably some classy forward watching this be like, what? I'm always getting dogged out. Like, you know, maybe we need a bit of balance. But like, there is the two yellow cards. One is my pet peeve. Morris, you can be honest now, like, you know, now that you're sort of taking a step back, you know, from being under the lights, have you ever like not exactly known what's happened and gone down and just given the two yellows anyway, just to calm everybody down?
I always find that if let's say there's a foul, a 50-50 foul, if you blow the free and you paint one way, straight away, right, everyone in the place thinks, yeah, he's right, he's 100%, he's bang on, because he's showing confidence in the way that he's painted for me. And I always give it to Philly, to be fair.
So in other words, you're going with the noise of the crowd. Is there anybody in the stand that's on the earpiece? Because we've seen David Goff there at the weekend. There was a sideline ball to Dublin, but it was a foul. It was a foul, and David Goff actually stopped it and went, no, it's a free against Dublin. And the fans were going mad, but it was I felt it was the correct decision. But he said to one of the players something about his earpiece. Was that just another official, or was that somebody in the stand?
There's no big brother in the stand, Philly.
It was probably the linesman.
I'd say probably could have told him, look, maybe the free should have went the other way rather than a line ball or whatever.
Have you ever complained that it's not just in your power to say if it's a cynical foul or not? Like, I'd say sometimes it's painful when you know somebody cynically fouled someone, but he didn't drag him down, he didn't trip him, he didn't. That must be heartbreaking to have to give a yellow card rather than the black card.
Well, you see, that's the thing, you see. Do you know what I mean? Going back to, I think it was in the Tyrone game, was it, Niall? Noel Mooney gave a yellow card. He was 100% right to give the yellow card, even though the whole country was wrong for a black card.
Conn Kilpatrick, I'm right.
Yeah.
It was a high tackle, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Rather than a black.
It was a cynical tackle, but under the black card rule, it's not in it. Yeah. He didn't pull him down. He didn't body collide him. He didn't remonstrate with a referee. They're all the black card rules.
Yeah.
It was only a yellow card offence. Do you know, he gave the yellow card, which he was right, gave the free in, but still everyone was wrong. He should have gave a penalty and a black card, which would have been incorrect as per rule. That's just the nature of the beast. That's another thing that needs to be probably looked at. If it's a cynical foul like that, which it was, that should have been, you know, that he should have by right.
Yeah, exactly.
Should have given a black card. But it's not.
Yeah. Well, Morris, thank you very much for coming in for this group therapy session here. We feel like got a lot off our chest. We'll have to bring you in every week for this.
No bother at all.